everyone. I'm Ian.
And I'm Sam.
And this is Do I Like This, the podcast.
Woo.
Hey, yay! New sounds. This is the podcast where usually I bring Sam collections of bad horror B-movies and assorted films from my backlog.
And I get really annoyed at you halfway through.
I got really annoyed at me halfway through. If I was a major league ball player, I'd be in like an 0-for-26 slump and they'd be benching me for like a platoon.
So here's the deal with this movie. We're just going to jump right in. Ian brought me Final Exam circa 1981. He thought it was a different movie.
I recalled about the first school shooting incident in this movie. I was like, this is not the film I remember. This is supposed to be like your traditional 80s horror kind of film. I don't even know what this was.
So this movie is an hour and a half long. We got 54 minutes in before Ian paused it. And we had a conversation about, oh, hey, this is definitely not the movie I thought it was. Let's just fast forward 10 seconds for the rest of the movie and see what happens, because we both were so confused and really were hoping that there would be some payoff and maybe someone would get murdered.
We got to about 35 minutes and we had gone since the opening scene without a murder, and we had a conversation. All right, five more minutes. And we somehow gave it 15. I don't know how we got lost in this movie, like wrapped up in it, but we did. And we got to that point. And then we played the fast forward, you know, video game of mash X until you get to the end.
Well, and something that some people know about me, but not everyone, that Ian certainly knows about me, is I don't turn off a movie. Once I start it, I watch to the end because I'm waiting to see maybe if it gets better. If the thing happens that I want to happen, and it takes a lot for me to turn something off. Actually, now that I'm saying this, I feel like I've said this in a different episode.
Yeah, that way in the this is the similar thing with Bloody New Year's. I've done this twice now. I didn't vet this well. I watched the trailer. I had a vague recollection, and then we got deceived a little bit.
Yeah.
By the Amazon had 4 out of 5 stars, so we're like, oh, okay,
yeah.
This has got 4 out of 5 stars out of like a significant amount of reviews. All right, we're going to be in, you know, safe waters here. We were wrong.
So, okay. So this movie opens with, they're on a college campus. It's a guy and a girl making out in a car. He's being very creepy, pressuring her into sex, blah, 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 blah. The car starts shaking. So it also should be said they're in a soft top convertible. So all of a sudden, this guy, his face just smushes down from the top of the car onto the windshield. And at first I thought it was a dead body, but no, it's the murdery person. He rips through the soft top convertible, drags a guy out by his face, starts fake stabbing him.
So bad.
Goes at the woman who's fake screaming. And we don't see like any blood. We see the guy's face. We see the murderer's face. He's a dude in jeans and like,
that's all a flannel.
A green flannel, like an army jacket kind of thing. He's got a bowl cut and he's like a big dude. He's a little bit older. And I'm like, oh, why are they showing him? Maybe there's going to be a backstory.
That was weird.
Not a backstory. So the rest of the movie takes place on a college campus. You have your jocks. You have your nerd, single nerd. There's a fraternity with the jocks. There's a preppy rich boy who in my notes, I kept writing different names for him, like Chet, Chad, Blake. I couldn't.
Oh, the names are absolutely gone in this. Other than Wild Man, I had nothing.
Yeah. Well, because he had his name written on his shirt.
Hey, movies. Great way to do it. If you're going to be shitty with names, write them on their shirt.
Right. There's the final girl archetype. There's the snotty rich girl. There's the weird prudy girl. All of the stereotypes that you want in this sort of movie. So I'm thinking, oh, great. We got ourselves a nice little campy slasher. This will be fun. Not fun, not campy, not slasher, any of it. A few minutes in, we get a professor making a joke about the Texas A&M sniper school shooting.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought...
And this was in 81 when this was released.
Right. So I said to Ian, wait, is he really saying that? And Ian's like,
yeah. Yup.
And I thought to myself...
He was like saying that joke and then threatening the students in the exam about a sniper.
Right.
Like,
well, what year was that? Because... In my head, I was thinking, too soon, too soon, because I'm pretty sure it was the contemporary, right?
1966. So you're only 15 years removed. That'd be making 9/11 jokes now. You know, it's just, it still doesn't work.
It's even closer than 9/11.
Yeah, it's even closer. So
in terms
I just,
of this movie.
It
rubbed you the wrong way. It was just weird, especially now. You know
I just
what I mean?
Don't see where, a good context to make a school shooting joke ever.
Right. But especially where we are now.
Yeah.
Everyone's very sensitive about that sort of thing. We've watched babies get murdered. So, I mean, it's a little tough to laugh at something like that for me anyway.
Jarring.
Especially the way they did it. Because it just wasn't funny. It was very creepy. The guy was kind of aggressive about it. And... it was weird, and nobody else was laughing. Everyone was like, what?
Yeah. So that's what this movie thinks is funny.
Right. So that was 5 minutes in, right?
Yeah.
The only entertaining part about this whole movie was the nerdy guy named Radish.
R-A-D-I-S-H, Radish.
He was really into true crime. As soon as he started talking, I turned to Ian and said, oh, he's a murderino.
And he was like your Revenge of the Nerds nerd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Dropping his gigantic chemistry books.
Tucked in collared shirt.
Talking about how brilliant he is.
Yeah.
But he was really funny.
Most likable character.
Right. And he was making, kind of.
Well, he's on the top couple list. Yeah.
He was the least terrible character. But he was kind of making jokes about murder and talking about crime statistics. And yeah, you may not know this. Do you know the Alfred Hitchcock movie Rope?
Not well, no.
I don't think you've seen it, have you?
No.
You've just heard me talk about it
exactly.
Because I love it. So that is real old school murderinos. And that's what that guy kind of reminded me of, the characters from that. It's actually a play originally, but I'm nerding hard. So I'm going to make you watch that.
I'm in. I love Hitchcock,
so good.
Yeah.
And it's a murdery tale. With Jimmy Stewart.
Sold. Yeah.
Back from my rabbit trail. So they're in this classroom taking a test. The weird professor leaves. We see this professor. I wrote him down as Sassy Prof.
You reminded me kind of the monk's boss.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. You know, a little similarity. Stop. Yeah, a little bit.
Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, a little Buffalo Bill, but older.
No, he reminded me of, oh God, what's his name? Sutherland, the older one, his dad.
Oh, Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland. His role of the professor in Animal House.
Yes, okay.
Reminded me a lot of that. So that's kind of what this guy looked like.
Yeah.
Sounded like, that's what he was talking like. So he leaves the proctoring of the test to his TAs, and he meets this young lady named Lisa, who's a student in the hallway. They go into his office. They start smooching.
I got a line from, this is one of the few lines I got in the movie. So this is where it's discerned very clearly that this is the end of whatever period of the school exams. And then there's going to be a break and everyone's going away. And she looks at him and, you know, they start talking, and clearly we find out he's cheating on his wife with her, and
his old redheaded hag of a
wife.
Yeah,
hold on, I got.
Oh, you
this
have
quote.
All of that.
Oh, I got this
okay.
quote. So she's, you know, showing off for him a little bit, and she goes, "It's your last chance for some nice firm flesh for a while. You'll be left with that sagging flesh of that wife of yours." And
that's not even the worst part to me.
No.
She goes, what is she, like 30?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, or is college kids think
the woman who was playing this actress, Lisa, the student, was probably around 30. right?
Yeah, everyone seemed, except for the final girl, everyone seemed aged up a bit.
Yeah.
Aged down a bit.
So they plan to meet later on.
In a rehearsal room, she mentions, which I wrote instantly, oh, one of them's going to die there.
We get a creeper van point of view. Then... Oh, yeah.
What's with these movies and all the killer point of views we get?
This one was especially bad.
Yeah.
Then we're back into the classroom where the test is being proctored. The nerd gets up and says, I can't help it. I'm brilliant, because he's done with the test.
Everyone groans.
Right. And then Wild Man gets up and burps and
belches.
I can't help it. I'm offensive. And then burps in someone's face on his way out.
Yeah.
And I hate him.
I wrote, I can't get over Wild Man's hair at this point. It is just...
He's terrible.
I loved what happened next, though. So he's walking out and the coach tackles him from behind a tree.
Yeah. And it's just...
So weird.
Really bizarre. They're talking about football, sports, or something. Sports ball.
But this is the coach, just to give you an idea of him, who's wearing like the gray sweatshirt, sweatpants combo.
Yeah, with the whistle around his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then our nerdy guy, Radish, comes by and is like, hey, coach, I'm going to come by later and do inventory on the equipment.
And the coach is like, well, our team's so bad. You're the only thing I take pride in. Thanks, Radish. It was weird.
Yeah. Then we get...
Not a D1 school is what I took from this.
I don't even know what that means. I do know what it means. I'm kidding.
Dance level 1.
That would be awesome.
That would be so cool. It's pretty much like Persona College, like just dancing, fighting. Oh, I'm in.
Persona has a great soundtrack.
Yeah. Persona 5 is my favorite right now. We've been playing it for
Persona 3 is my favorite.
Well, we haven't finished 5, so it still has a chance to become your favorite.
I don't think anyone will beat Persona 3.
That's fair.
There's like a nostalgia attached.
Oh yeah, this is my notes then. Sorry, just pull us back into the worst thing possible. It was what the fuck in up capital letters for what's about to happen next.
Yeah, so we get a creeper van POV again. And this time we see there are multiple people in the van. And I turned to Ian, I was like, what the fuck?
And this is like, so this weird.
What's
this
happening?
This is where I realized, oh, I haven't seen this before.
Yeah, in this scene... There are a bunch of dudes in masks and gigantic semi-automatic weapons that leap out of the van and just start opening fire on students in the quad. It was horrifying. Yeah. Ian and I both had like a visceral reaction to it, physical and otherwise.
I didn't even want to keep watching the movie at this point.
Yeah, we both were like, I don't think I can watch this. This is awful.
Until we realized very quickly, oh... It's a prank.
Right. But it was not clear immediately.
I just want to take a quick second and have a conversation on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable as a prank. It's going to be a real quick conversation. Staged mass shootings, not acceptable as a prank. Don't do it.
Ever.
Ever.
In what time period was that ever acceptable? Because I'm pretty sure even in this time period, it was not.
I can't think of one. I cannot. This was genuinely one of the most
It was
jarring-
disturbing.
It's so out of place. And what it comes to is this whole prank was just so the guy could cheat on his test.
Right.
One of the frat brothers.
So while this is happening, the head of the frat, Brett, love you, terrible guy, he takes his test, writes in red pen a grade on the top, and then slides it into the pile that the TA has so that he can get his grade so that his parents will buy him a car or something.
Yeah, his parents will stop paying for his car. That was the length to which they thought was acceptable to go to cheat on a test.
Well, that's because they're entitled white people.
No, I meant the idea of this film. Oh. Thought that was an acceptable, diversion. Dude, have them have, like, anything from Animal House, you know?
They already had a lot of the things from Animal
they
House.
They did, but, you know, why they chose this to be where they deviated, I don't know, but it was awful. At this point, I wrote, apparently you could get away with anything in the 1980s movie making.
So then these fake gunmen start grabbing bodies while the same scream just plays over and over in the background. And then Ian and I at this point were saying, wait, this can't be real, right? This is fake. This is a prank. Yeah. Our nerdy guy runs across campus and he uses a rotary phone to call the sheriff. He says that students have been shot and kidnapped, and he yells, "The psychopaths are here."
Oh, yeah, because they mentioned vaguely earlier that, like, there was a campus murder. The first murder, the only murder so far in this movie, they were talking about it walking to their test, and they said, "Hey, there's a guy who killed someone there," and they made reference to other murders at college campuses and that maybe it's a serial killer.
That's when we get a little bit of insight that Radish is a true crime fanatic. So we get some cheering bro douches in the back of the van.
Oh, yeah.
They're drinking beers. They jump out. Their frat is apparently the Gammas. Yep. They're screaming, "What are Gammas?" And I yelled out, "Gross."
I wrote, "Cool dudes."
So then we have our final girl, whose name is Courtney, because I wrote it down right here. And Lisa, the professor's lady.
Oh, you got her name. You got Courtney. Okay, I didn't ever get that name.
I think I got all their names, unfortunately.
Mm-mm.
Except for Chad.
Chet. Gareth.
Don't you even.
I'm sorry.
Gareth is the Goblin King.
I know. I didn't know before I said it, but once I said it, I stopped as your face reacted. And was like, "I've made a mistake."
I made a terrible mistake. So the two girls are going to the cafeteria. Then we see Janet, who is out of her mind, and her boyfriend, who's a pledge, and they come in. And this whole scene is just to set up that this guy's a pledge.
Poor Gary.
And that Janet's in love with him and he's in love with her, blah, blah. So then the Gamma Bro douche starts pulling rank and calling this guy Gary pledge, mm-hmm. and telling him he needs to do things for him.
Oh,
and
he's going full asshole on him.
Yeah, like, takes Gary outside. Tell me it's a solemn duty to break into the professor's office and steal the test for the next day.
Gary's
not smart.
Not smart, but at least even Gary's like, "I could get kicked out of school for that." And
yeah, he's
bro
also
douche is like, "What, you're going to be a little wimp, huh? You're not cool enough."
And then Wild Man runs in and just starts sniffing him and getting his face up in his bubble and being overall creepy.
So Gary ends up deciding he's going to do it.
Here's where I wrote, "I hate everyone in this movie. Also, they all look 40.
They do. I wrote, "I wouldn't want to be in anything with that fraternity guy, let alone a fraternity."
Listen, fraternities are fine.
Not with this guy, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I wrote, "Poor pledge, Gary."
Yeah. So then we go back in and Janet, the wacky girl, and Gary are arguing like they're 80-year-old married couple. And I wrote, "She got the crazy eye."
Yeah, I wrote, "Her face is kind of scary when she smiles."
Well, because her eyes are open really wide. She smiles and shows all of her teeth, which is very disconcerting. It's also a sign of aggression in animals. So there's that.
If you could be have a face, but also have a skeleton showing at the same time, that's her face. You got a real nice food tray camera transition.
Yes. Our final girl drops off her tray and we zoom in on the dumbwaiter as it goes down. And we follow her dirty tray into the dish room and beyond. I don't understand what this is about. Eventually, it follows a garbage man out and she crosses paths with him. And then we're following her again. And I think that was the point.
I wrote at this point, someone needs to die soon.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Because we hadn't had anything since the opening.
At this point, Courtney, final girl, is walking past the murder van. And she is running her hand along the side of it as she walks by. And then we see Murder Face stick his head out the door and watch her. I was hoping someone would get murdered. Not so much. So then we get, in my opinion, the only entertaining scene in the entire movie, which is why we waited. So at this point, we had already said, in 5 minutes, we're going to stop. We're not going to watch this movie anymore. We took 15 minutes because this 10-minute scene
was delightful,
was entertaining enough to pull us through. And then after this scene is when we were like, okay.
Yeah.
So we have a sheriff who pulls up and he has the most hillbilly-like affect is the best way I can put it.
kind of weird because it's not really anything else hillbilly about this place.
It's in the Carolinas, I think.
Is it?
It was set somewhere beneath the Mason-Dixon line. And I'm pretty sure
no one had a southern accent but the
something
sheriff.
Alluded to the Carolinas, but I could be wrong.
All right.
He starts ranting about multiple shootings. And he's mad because it's his supper time. And he had to drive all the way down here to this campus.
I feel like it was mid-afternoon.
Listen, supper time.
Fair.
Especially in the southern region, tends to be a little earlier. I have a few relatives down that way.
I'll take your word on it.
And supper time is like, depending on the day, like 2-3 o'clock sometimes. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I could get down.
Maybe it's just certain family members of mine. So he's ranting and raving hilariously. We find out that the nerdy guy took the license plate number of the van. He gives it to the sheriff, who calls it in. We find out that it's Wild Man,
who has conveniently walked up with fraternity captain
Chet. Dave. Mark. I think his name is actually Mark.
Chet Mark.
Sheriff turns around as Wild Man starts to sneak off because he knows he's been had.
Wild Man doesn't sneak off. He steps backward oafishly.
Sheriff goes, "Where you going, bulldog?" And at this point, he's kind of laying into him about the prank. And then the coach walks up and says, with a bow and arrow, "What you doing? I thought it was pretty funny," because he also has that accent. Then they start kind of exchanging barbs, he and the sheriff. And he talks about how the sheriff and his friends burnt down the library
back when
they were in college. And they had... Oh, they hid the fire hose and they sat around watching the library burn, drinking beer, saying, "That's a damn good fire." And it made me think of some of my relatives who I love dearly, who would totally do something like that. Oh, man. The sheriff gets all riled up. He does this whole thing where he gives Wild Man a dime and says, "This is for the next time you mess with me.
It's your one for call.
Your phone call or whatever." And he tells him not to lose it, blah, blah, blah. I'm disappointed because the sheriff shows up. Does he show up? He doesn't show up
again. No, that's all we get.
That's it. Yeah.
We get the, as the scene's going on, the random campus security officer shows up.
Oh, and he's apparently drunk. And he says, "What are you doing here? I'm holding up my end of the bargain. There's no crime on campus." And then he and the coach start joking back and forth about bow hunting, and they make an appointment to meet later and go bow hunting at like 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah. And it's all just a bunch of dumbness, but it was entertainingly dumb.
Yeah.
Which is hard to say for the rest of this film.
Right.
I did write at this point, we get through a lot of scenes coming up that have no real purpose.
Oh my God. Absolutely none. It's just Lisa and Courtney talking about how Lisa uses flirting to get what she wants, and Lisa wants to use her brains.
What you guys can't see here is as Sam was reading that, she's looking me dead-eyed in the eyes and casually just tossed her notes away with disdain.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's only because it was useless. Then Courtney's complaining to Radish. Apparently they're friends. Blah, blah, blah. She goes up a stairwell at one point and passes by a mirror, and the creepy dude is in it. You can see him full body in it, and
oh,
she
yeah.
doesn't notice. And then it takes her about a full seconds
she was until on, like, she radio turns delay. Around
and comes back and looks at the mirror. And I wrote, "How no see that?"
I remember you said that out loud, and it was apparently you just don't.
I think my brain had started to melt at this point.
Yeah. Then more scenes that didn't mean anything. Janet's talking about she got pinned.
Oh, you asked me to explain this.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant. She's like, "I got pinned." And I was like.
So Janet comes in and she's telling the girls, Courtney and Lisa, "I got pinned. Gary pinned me." And Ian turns to me and he's like.
What the fuck does that mean?
What? You're gonna need to explain that to me. So I said, all right, I'll explain it to you during the podcast. So back in the day, it was a thing where if you were going to like go steady with someone, you gave them your PIN. And if you're in a fraternity and you give someone else your PIN, that's a big deal. Like your pledge PIN, you're not supposed to lose it. You're not supposed to give it away. You're not allowed to do it. So Gary could get in big, huge trouble. And so that's why what happens to Gary happens to Gary, because he gave away his pledge PIN and they found out.
So taking that in, a couple thoughts. Gary, I don't know if he's pledge material after watching, you know? Well, now I know that. And I can't unknow that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a thing still, but I'm pretty sure it's not. I think it's very antiquated. It's sort of like giving a girl your Letterman jacket in the 50s or something.
Well, my follow-up comment I wrote to this scene makes even more sense now. I wrote, these scenes, man, what's the fucking point?
Then we're with Wildman and Mark?
John Von Jimmy?
What?
He's got goofy hair. It's the 80s, man. John Bon Jovi.
Don't mess with John Bon Jovi. You always got to mess with the awesome people. What's wrong with you?
Just literally throwing out names.
These guys are in their rooms?
It looks like a frat, like kind of dorm.
It looks like a shitty tiny apartment.
Like a frat upstairs to a frat dorm.
Oh, okay.
I've seen ones like it. It looks like they're a frat.
It's weird. It's stupid. It's way too long. Wild Man is just like eating deodorant. He's
taking off shirt, eating deodorant.
Just doing dumb shit. Brad is saying that they need to get pills for people to sell them, and they decide they need to go break into the coach's office and steal
pills of whatever sort they have. Yeah.
He has.
Yeah.
Why does the coach have pills?
I guess it's PEDs. Yeah.
What is that?
Performance enhancing drugs.
See, I wasn't an athlete, so I don't know anything about that.
I was an athlete and I didn't do PEDs.
Then we go to Radish's room. Wildman and Chet break in. Radish is listening to Victorian era chanting.
Ladies, Radish is single. He does not know how to mingle, so you may have to reach out to him.
The gist of the scene is that they're stealing his keys to the coach's office because he was going to do inventory and they're going to go steal the pills.
And they're kind of like, yeah, it's not cool what you did to us, man. But
then we move on to Gary sneaking forever into the professor's office to what the caption called moves to suspicious music. No, suspenseful music. I can't tell. I abbreviated it and it's SUSP. So I don't know if that's suspicious or suspenseful, but I'm going to go with suspicious. Don't be 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 suspicious. John Ralphio.
John Ralphio. Such a great scene. The worst. I really enjoyed his sneak in.
I didn't. It took forever.
It was so bad.
It took minutes.
Oh, it was great. It was great how bad it was.
It was ridiculous.
And there was no payoff to any of it.
No.
Like he jumps up and over the door.
The murderer's point of view watching him. Then we see the murderer briefly in the window. And that's it.
Once they showed the murderer a little bit, I was like, he's not going to kill him here. We're going to get a jump. And it was exactly what we thought. It was his frat brothers being like, hey, you got the test for us. Woohoo. Also, we found out you pinned Janet.
So they stripped him down to his little tidy whities and tied him to a tree.
This poor, scrawny little dude.
Tiny, tiny guy tied to a massive tree. What did they do to him, Ian? Because you had a reaction.
I was very disappointed with all these human beings. They decided not only to like cover him in like douse him in water and shaving cream, they filled his jock with ice. And I wrote, well, his dick's about to die.
Yeah, I wrote, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It was so bizarre.
And one of the girls, because it's guys and girls doing this at this point, which whatever, apparently this happens a lot because everyone's like, oh, it's happening. Let's watch. Goes, I'll go get Janet because Janet has to cut him down. And I was like, well, any of you could wait a second and cut him down. Well, but apparently there's a tradition.
Yeah.
The pinned girl has to cut him down.
So here's the thing. They don't make a lot of this clear. We had to figure it out as we went along.
Yeah.
They did not make it clear that that was what the tradition was.
No.
We figured it out because
we have brains.
As time went on, it became clear that that's what was happening.
Yeah.
We're going to skip a bit because none of it matters.
And also, it takes them apparently a day and a half to find Janet.
Seriously. And also a day and a half to break into the coach's office. It's dark out now. Gary is still tied to the tree. The drunk security guard walks up and says, "You done been treed, boy." And he said, "I'd cut you down, but I won't mess with tradition." Then
he pulls out a flask and he's like, you know, cheer, a drink to your, you know, your newfound relationship. And he takes a swig and he goes, instead of giving it to Gary, pours it down his crotch as well. Like, what the fuck?
It's so weird.
He's like, "You'll have yours on ice." And I was just like, you can get the fuck out of this movie with that dumbass line.
Yeah. Then I wrote here, 5 minutes of nothing.
It's now like the middle of the night and I wrote, no one got Gary.
Right. He's like sad by the tree. Janet finally is like, oh, I got to go save Gary.
He can't feel his dick because it was frozen for so long. The ice is probably melted, but he's got no feeling.
It's not, because we see shortly that there's still some ice in his underpants.
Someone's refilling the ice in his crotch. I don't know whose job that was.
So someone comes and cuts the rope. Gary's like, oh, Janet. Oh, thank God. And then when no one appears, he's wandering around saying, who's there, for about a minute and a half. Who's there? Who's there? Who's there? And Ian and I were actively commenting on how annoying it was and how many times he was going to say, who's there?
I was like, kill him, please. Mm-hmm.
Then there's the guy. This guy. Okay, listen. This movie's terrible. This murderer sucks. He's not scary at all. But the way he kills people is actually hilarious.
Yeah, if this could have...
He falls down from this tree. I don't even know how he got up because this tree is massive.
It was like an axe giant fall.
He fell from the tree onto Gary and apparently killed him.
Yeah.
But we don't see that. So we're back from our quick little break we had to take because our child just pee through everything you can possibly pee through. So where were we? Oh, okay. I remember now. Gary just died. Janet shows up. Gary's not there. She looks up, sees a shadow on a water tower a mile away. And is like, oh, Gary.
Oh my God. Is that Gary on the water tower?
Then she goes up to the water tower. So I think at this point we had decided that we were just going to start skipping ahead 10 seconds for the rest of the movie. Because at this point we had decided that we were not invested. We didn't like it. It was awful. No one was dying. And we just wanted to see if someone died anytime soon in a way that was
remotely interesting.
Right.
Yeah. It's the only way to watch this film. I'm going to be completely
honest.
So
we fast forward from now on 10 seconds and then we'd watch for a second and fast forward 10 seconds if nothing was happening. And surprise, surprise. There was really nothing happening.
It's mostly fast forwarding.
Right. So at this point, Janet dies.
Yeah. She climbs the water tower, comes down the water tower, dies.
The guy pulls her behind a wall.
That's
it. And that's it. So we have to just assume that she dies.
True.
That's
we never got proof that Janet died.
Then Lisa's playing piano alone in some room.
Barely clad dress.
Wild Man is stealing pills, all 15 of them. He runs into the dark gym.
Scoreboard comes on.
Right. The scoreboard comes on.
Chance to do something funny. Be like, Wild Man won something, a million, but no. I would have done something fun there.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. Wild Man goes over, turns on the lights, which is smart, actually.
Yeah. It's just the random guy standing there.
He's just standing in the middle of the gym. Wild Man just runs at him.
Living up to his name.
They fake fight aggressively. Actually, not aggressively at all is really what happened.
That was really bad.
It was very bad. The pills fly like confetti.
That was kind of funny.
That was pretty funny. They move into the workout room and the guy hangs Wild Man with some wires from
in a weird way, kind of like something. The end of Class of 1999 with the coach.
You guys, this was really, really rough.
Yeah.
It gets worse. Radish shows up to Courtney's room with some whiskey. We fast forwarded through almost all of it. Chet Blake goes to find Wild Man and finds him stuffed upside down in a locker, which was kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
He goes out of the gym. And you know those 80s cars? Because I think he has a Porsche or something.
Mm-hmm.
The lights that come up out of the front of the car, they lift up.
I call them like triangle lights. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm describing them terribly.
It's like eyes opening on the hood
of
the car.
Yeah. So they pop up. And so that happens. The lights flash him. So he runs back into the building. This, to Ian and I, was the most entertaining death.
Yeah, 100%.
In a moment. It takes a really long time to get there because this guy's just basically running around in circles. And he somehow winds up in a hallway with at the end of a locked door.
With no other entrance.
No other entrance. The guy was behind him chasing him. He's walking down this hallway.
And all of a sudden, killer pops out of one of the barrels in the hallway and kills him. It was glorious.
It was ridiculous.
Logic? No.
He
wonderful,
had hidden
yes.
in a plastic barrel, apparently.
My only theory on this is he's got a killer twin who's been hiding in that barrel all day waiting.
That would have made this movie so much more interesting. I didn't even speculate about fun things that this movie could have done because that's how difficult it was to watch. It took all of my attention. Then Radish goes to the gym. He finds the pills on the floor. He starts cleaning up because remember, he's supposed to be there to do inventory. He finds the frat guy.
Chibbity Chet.
Yeah, in the locker. He's just hanging there, kind of. And he goes, it's happening.
So
and I just started dying laughing because he is so excited that there's a murderer in town.
So the best part about this, and it's one of the better things of the movie, is the way they cut the shot is Radish goes to the phone to call the police again, but they leave the shot with the guy stuffed in the locker in the background.
Behind him, yeah.
Yeah, so he has to sit there playing dead for like a good 2.5 minutes.
Because it was actually him. It wasn't a stuffed dummy or something.
And it was
he was just hanging there in an uncomfortable position. It was very
funny.
It
was entertaining. I appreciated that little thing.
It was still not good.
No, but when you're in a sea of garbage, you enjoy when you come across a little piece of gold.
A little shiny, shiny piece of aluminum foil.
A little bit. All right, let's fly through this.
Yeah, so then we get Lisa's playing her piano. She stops. She goes to find her boyfriend, Professor. Then we see Radish running to Courtney's room, yells to her, let me in. Someone grabs him through the door in an almost Shining-like situation with the door panel.
It had to be the murder triplet.
Yeah.
Because this guy's all over the campus.
We go back to Lisa. She's in this art studio of the professor's, and all the paintings, every single one, are just a naked woman's back.
All I could think of is the Bob Burgers episode
with the cat butts. Yes. Yes, this was basically the cat buttholes of the early 80s college professor.
It was great.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
It was really terrible. So then she just takes off her clothes.
And looks away from the
door. And lies down away from the door with her face to the wall, waiting, I guess, to be drawn like one of his French girls. I don't know.
So many questions, no answers, no desire to seek answers.
Then Courtney... Remember, this is our final girl. She comes back to her room after being wherever, and she finds Radish dead hanging through her door. Yeah. He's literally, there's a hole in her door, and he's hanging out of it like it's The Shining, kind of. She thinks it's a joke. It takes way too long for her to figure out that
she's
actually
dead. She's like, wake up, Radish. Wake up, Radish.
She's like, this isn't funny.
This isn't funny anymore.
Wake up. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. I was
then
the noise I made.
Then the door slammed toward her with him in it and she ran.
Which tells me that this killer is an idiot.
Well, yes. It also tells you that he's in that room. So the next scene, wouldn't be possible, which is Lisa in the studio, creepy dude walks in. Mind you, we're fast forwarding every 10 seconds now.
Yeah.
So we get that he walked in, we get that he started stabbing her. So we stopped and we just see blood spraying mm-hmm. on every single painting in the room.
Yeah, she is a squirter.
Well, it's just showing, Ian, it's just showing blood splashing on every painting for a minute or so.
And it's a large room.
Yeah. So then Courtney comes in, the guy's chasing her all over the place. They wind up in the cafeteria. And this is where we get a kind of hilarious, actually a little creepy scene where she runs down to the dish area from earlier. And this motherfucker rides the dumbwaiter.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
So the fact that he fit in there was funny and also creepy.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of climbed out.
It was amusing to see him do that. Yeah.
Then she knocks him over the head and locks him in the freezer again, like The Shining.
Yeah.
She's running. Somehow he got out. We don't know because we fast forward 10 seconds.
I think he climbed out.
I'm sure.
I think for a second I saw that.
This guy's chasing this girl, Courtney. He chases her up to this
clock tower?
Bell tower type thing.
Bell tower is a better phrase.
It kind of looks like old Harry Potter
library or
broken
something.
Down owlery is really what it looks like.
That's a very good description. It kind of reminded me of when you look down at like the staircase scene in American Psycho where you just have the staircase going up and up and up.
And there's exposed wood sticking out. It's obviously not. It's not being renovated, but yeah, it's in disrepair. That's a better way to put it. She winds up running up as the killer's going up. All of a sudden the coach pops up. For his hunting trip to meet the security guard. And he threatens to shoot the guy with his bow and arrow.
One arrow. He carries one arrow.
His one single arrow.
Because he's that good.
He shoots the arrow at the murderer. And the murderer catches it in midair. In what I thought was a really badly done reverse shot.
Yep.
I read the trivia, and apparently that guy practiced really hard, and he caught that in his actual hands in real life.
I can't imagine how many takes it took. Also,
that's a lot of dedication for this movie.
That's really unnecessary. Just do a really bad backward shot and save yourselves the time.
It was very weird.
Credit to the commitment.
So then the coach runs up because it's his only arrow.
I know.
And then he stabs the coach with his own arrow, which to me was shitty. I wish the coach would have taken him out.
Well, the coach is a big dude.
That other guy was a big dude.
I had a lot of questions about that little interaction. I'm not going to ask him because I don't care.
No. So then he's chasing Courtney again. His foot gets caught in the floor. And then she beats him over the head with a board until he falls. She was beating him over the head with the board forever.
Yeah, like a lot of
this
movie.
We hit the fast forward button at least twice while she was hitting him.
Yeah,
and she was still hitting
him. She was hitting him the extent like Mick Foley would get hit in a match. Like, you're like, okay, you've made your point, Mick. You like to take a beating. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, you're still hitting him with the chairs and the board. Okay.
Yeah, here I wrote WTF in giant letters. You can see it from here.
Mm-hmm, I can. Welcome to Florida.
She very slowly walks down the stairs to the body.
Oh my God, that took
so slowly.
Because I accidentally fast forwarded one too long. So we had to go back and I went too far back. And we got to the point where like, let's just watch it again. And we couldn't get over how long it took her to get down these stairs.
Yeah. So then she comes upon the body. There's blood all around it. This guy just fell down probably
50, 80 feet.
Well, I was going to say 5 or 6 flights of stairs.
Yeah. On a concrete.
Wait, did you say 50 feet?
Yeah.
Way more than 50 feet, like 500 feet.
He fell a long way onto a concrete floor.
I love you, but you're terrible at estimating distance. Because we've had this conversation before, I think on this podcast.
So you're telling me I finally have to take it off my CV. Damn it. I guess it's just Excel and PowerPoint now.
So as she comes up to the body, he grabs her leg.
No way. He would have
been smushed into jelly.
I can accept that if you're a supernatural Michael Myers kind of character.
Right. This guy was
not. He's
not.
He was just a dude in a Salvation Army war jacket with a knife.
Right.
And a bad haircut.
Yeah.
So she takes the knife and then spends the next day and a half stabbing him.
About 20 times is what I guessed.
Yeah.
Just over and over.
And getting no blood on herself.
Or anywhere else.
Yeah, it was. And then she goes and sits on the steps outside and the movie ends.
Yes, sitting on the steps crying and the movie ends.
I can't.
Hate this movie so much for so many reasons.
Yeah, it was not a good, this is not a good movie.
Listen, I think all of the other movies that we've watched so far are at least watchable
in some way.
You can watch them, you can laugh at them, you can enjoy yourself while you're watching them with the person that you're watching it with, if you're watching it with a person. This is unwatchable, period. You and I couldn't even, we were mostly silent through the movie because we couldn't believe how terrible it was. And we were trying to figure out if we should turn it off because it was so bad.
We talked during the movie because I think you and I both noticed each other. I wasn't even interested in taking notes about this because A, not enough interesting things were happening in the slightest.
Yeah, Ian stopped taking notes halfway through.
And B, I knew this was trash. I knew that this was the worst movie I've ever watched. And I don't say that lightly.
Right. We pushed through, so we paused halfway through when we decided to just fast forward 10 seconds and decided, okay, we've invested the time in this. Let's do something with it. We did our little recap. We tried to move through it as quickly as we could while still giving you all the hits. Mm-hmm. And then I decided that it would be a good idea to kind of segue into, this is not the first time this has happened.
This is the worst time it has happened, though.
This is the worst time that it's happened. Ian has had me watch two other movies that we recorded and then decided we're not putting this out there for people to listen because we both were just unhappy watching them.
You can hear in those recordings that you'll never hear, I could hear this true level of disdain that we were talking about these films.
Well, like, and that's
most of the movies we will watch and talk about aren't necessarily good, but we have a fun experience and therefore it carries in your voice and conversation. Like, hey, let's talk about this goofy thing. Watch this movie. I'll be honest with everyone listening. This is our second attempt at talking about most of this movie because the first one, Sam was feeling sick, which doesn't help. But
yeah, I actually had to go get a COVID test because that's how sick I feel.
Was to be continued. So rough listening to it. I was like, we can't use this. We just can't because you could tell how much we hated it. So we took some time away. We came back. These other two movies, Ghost Shark and Bats, we kind of determined if we had watched them together, we probably would have had a much better experience.
Oh, absolutely.
But man, they weren't good either. But this is a whole nother level.
So the two movies that we watched that we didn't publish, Bats was the very first.
Yes.
And Bats, I thought Lou Diamond Phillips would save it because he's
saves
Lou
lots
Diamond
of things.
Phillips.
Yeah.
So I was really hopeful.
Shout out Young Guns.
Exactly. He didn't save it at all. The movie is ridiculous. Maybe someday we should revisit it and watch it together, but that shouldn't be for a very long time because I still have some feelings. But I watched it alone, and by the end of it, I was so annoyed. And I think that if we watched it together, it would have been a different experience. And then with Ghost Shark, that movie is horrible.
It's the acting in Ghost Shark.
It's horrible. It's not just the acting. It's the story. It's the dialogue. It's everything is so bad in that movie.
It's saving grace.
Are horrible. The saving grace are the kills.
Oh, so good.
Which are so funny. Mm-hmm. They're so ridiculous. It's a shark that is murdered in the beginning. One of the murder weapons is hot sauce.
Waste of hot sauce.
And
it floats into this cave right next to where it's killed.
Comes back as a ghost to seek revenge on people. And its ghost can manifest in water of any kind, which is in itself an excellent concept.
Love it.
And Ian and I were super pumped about it. It did not pay off. The only time that it paid off, there were two times. One was a slip and slide.
Okay. Ghost Shark killed kids multiple times. Yeah. Credit for it going there. Was not expecting that.
It was disturbing, but really funny. It ate children on a slip and slide. They slip and slid into the ghost's mouth.
Right into the ghost shark's mouth. Mwah.
And then at one point, it eats a lady in a bikini at a inside of a bucket at a car wash, and you just see her legs sticking out of the bucket. And then the best is a man goes to drink a cup of water, and the ghost shark eats him from the inside out and splits him in half, and then it just dissipates into
the air. You don't
see
Sam's hand motions, which are pretty glorious jazz fingers of the shark coming inside and out of someone.
Yeah. It was very funny. There's a scene at the end where they're in a thunderstorm and the shark is coming down in the rain and jumping between puddles. And he's just roaring like an angry dog, like rawr, as it's falling in the rain. Those things are all funny, but they were not enough to like make it enjoyable. Yeah. And we had such a hard time talking about it and doing a recap because everything in between was just awful in every way imaginable.
The concept's so good, though. I would love to remake Ghost Shark conceptually.
God. Yes. Let's buy the rights.
Yep.
And
I think I have a fiver somewhere.
Yeah. So we started talking about those movies and talking about this movie. We just figured, okay, let's make the best of it.
Yep.
We'll do the quick recap of our skipping 10 seconds forward. And then we'll kind of give you a little insight into how this has happened before and how it's not always great.
Yeah. I don't always strike gold.
And so now that this has happened for the third time, I've decided, Ian.
Oh, God.
That I'm going to pick a movie and you're going to watch a movie that I choose.
All right.
You're probably going to love it. So it's not like it's actually revenge of any kind. I'm not getting anything from it.
Jaws the Revenge? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you haven't seen that, have you?
I have. I've seen the beginning of it.
You haven't seen the whole thing?
I have not.
It doesn't count.
I've not seen it to completion.
And it only counts if you've seen it to completion. So you haven't seen it. That'll go on the list. So audience, I know I've mentioned this before. I have a list of movies that Ian should have seen by now in his life that he's never seen. And I'm going to add that one to it. And I've decided I'm going to choose a movie from that list. And that's what we're going to watch. So once we're done recording here, we're going to go watch a movie. And then we'll do a little more different
format.
Yeah, it'll definitely not be the format that we usually do because I'm going to make the assumption that most people have seen this movie. So we're not really going to do a recap. It's mostly going to be a, hey, Ian, do you like this? And
let's talk about why.
Kind of chit chat about it. And we'll go from there. And we don't even really know what we're going to do. It'll be fun. And then Ian will have watched something that's awesome.
I will have watched something that I find enjoyable. Yeah, we can have a movie experience where we know going in we're both going to come out happy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that because I don't often get a chance to watch movies or television because I wrangle a child all the time in my free time. And she doesn't like to sleep. So that means I don't sleep.
Yeah.
So I sleep as much as I can. So the only movies that I've been watching are the movies that you choose. So I'm going to pick a fucking movie. And it's going to be good.
Let's do
this. And you're going to love it.
I'm excited. I am excited.
And that's how I'm going to get my revenge for your three horrible movies. Four, actually, because I forgot about Bloody New Year. Because I didn't actually finish that and you didn't watch it.
I'm getting a look of love.
No, I'm actually getting really excited because I want to watch this movie.
I'm excited too. Well, thank you guys for joining us this week for a really awful movie.
Please never watch it.
Don't watch this movie. And we're not saying that in a way where we're like, don't watch this movie. And you go and watch it. Don't watch this movie.
It's not worth it in any way. There's nothing about it that's redeeming. I don't even feel bad saying that. Usually I feel bad when I shit talk movies. I don't feel bad at all. This is one of the worst things I've ever watched.
If you do watch it, please tell us about it at...
Yeah.
Do I like this podcast at gmail.com?
I would absolutely love to hear if anyone mm-hmm. has a differing opinion, because I'm genuinely curious and also concerned.
Yeah. You can find us at Do I Like This Podcast on Instagram, the.ian.james on Instagram, Do I Like This Podcast.com.
Do I Like This Podcast on Facebook?
And Twitter, which Sam's going to try and do some.
I'm going to try. I just don't love the format of Twitter. Yeah. I feel like it's constraining, and it's also lots of toxicity on there. And it's just one more thing.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try to do it.
We'll try it out. I'm not gonna make any promises.
I'm gonna put in some effort.
Yeah.
I think I've already posted like two things from Instagram to it. But I think it's Do I Like This Podcast.
You know what? Next week we'll get you more information on our Twitter. Don't worry about it. We'll put it up on our Instagram.
I don't have my phone, so I can't.
Our Instagram, Do I Like This Podcast. Thank you guys again for listening. We really appreciate it. Shout out to our over 100 downloads from our wonderful audience out in India. It's really cool kind of seeing how global that this little podcast that we do in our home has gotten.
It is awesome.
So thank you so much to everyone in multiple other places that are listening, but we thought that was really cool. So we hope you all are enjoying, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Yeah.